Thank you. Mike Rodenbach.
Present.
Bilal Barem.
Present.
Christina Rosette.
Present.
Cyril Chua.
Yes.
Tony Holmes. I see Tony's on the call. He might be on mute. Greg Ruth. Greg Ruth, I might also be on mute. Robin Gross, Norbert Klein.
I'm here, Norbert.
Carlos Souza.
I'm here. I have to excuse myself. I have to leave the room for 5 minutes, not longer than that, but I'm present. Okay?
Thank you. Tim Ruiz.
Present.
Chuck Gomes.
Present.
Edmund Chan. Jordi Iperagur. John Bing is absent with excuse. Avery Doria.
Yeah.
Olga Cavalli.
Present.
And then from staff, we have got Dan Halloran.
Present.
Olaf Nordling.
Yes.
Liz Gaster.
Yes.
Patrick Jones. Craig Schwartz.
Here.
And Tina Dam. And then
here.
We have Rita Roden on the call, our board member.
Good morning, everyone.
Have I missed anyone?
Tony Holmes rejoining, Glenn.
Thank you, Tony.
Hi, Philip here.
And Philip. And Edmund Chan. Thank you.
Did Greg Ruth ever join again?
I see his line is joined.
Okay, well, he'll probably speak up later. This is Chuck, and just want to let you know, if you didn't pick up on it when Aubrey talked earlier in this call or when she said present, she has a very bad voice right now, so... I agreed at her request to chair the meeting. She will try to participate as best she can. She is calling in from the IATF meeting in Vancouver.
Thank you, Chuck, and apologies.
Thank you, Aubrey. Appreciate it. I hope you get better quickly. The first thing we should do is review and approve the agenda. Are there any suggested changes to the agenda?
Chuck?
Yes?
One thing. Under any other business, I basically was going to put in the letter relating to travel, and also if we had time, we had further discussions on an IBN mailing list, but that might end up getting pushed off to another week, but we definitely had the travel expense issue.
Good, yeah. Okay, and the travel expense issue will come under any other business, including the letter. And the second item was what, Aubrey?
We had a continuing item on the IDN mailing.
Oh yeah, IDN list. Yeah, got it. Okay, good. Thank you. No other changes to the agenda?
Actually, it's Mike Rodenbaugh. I'd like to know where we're at on the proxy issue as well.
Well, we'll cover that when we go over the action item list, Mike.
Great, thank you.
Okay, going on then, are there any updates to statements of interest? Okay. The next thing we have is the approval of the nominating committee job description. Aubrey sent that out, a final version last week, which hadn't changed very much in the last couple versions of it. Glenn sent out a link to all of the things on the agenda, and a link was provided for that, so everybody should be able to access that if you haven't already reviewed it. Is there any discussion on that? Okay. Then would someone like to approve that job description? Make a motion to approve that, excuse me.
This is Greg Ruth. I'll make a motion.
Thanks, Greg. Is there a second?
No, this is Ken. I'll second.
Is there any further discussion? Does any one object to us having just a voice vote? Okay. All in favor? Say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that's approved. Going to item two, item three, a status update on inter-registrar transfer policy planning group. Glenn, were you able to arrange with Ross to join us on that, or is Olaf going to give that?
I think, Chuck, that Ross sent his apologies beforehand, not being able to join the call. And so I'll give a very brief update on what's happened, and perhaps we start from the very beginning, because this is one of the parallel tracks that came out of the working group report, the transfer working group report, where we had, just to recall it, issues that were of high importance to address, notably cases where the grounds for the registrars for blocking transfers or rejecting them, and that was selected out to be studied in an issues report, which eventually became a PDP as of a recent council decision. Then there were a number of issues or comments that were more prone to be part of an advisory to be posted on the ICANN webpage, and then there were those in between where PDPs could be called for, but there was a need to prioritize, and at the council meeting on the 20th of September that was brought up, and Ross launched a working group of volunteers to try to perform that task, and mailing list was established, and much of the work was done on that. So in total, I think it was 9 members that provided their prioritization of the 19 issues in that list by ranking them, and Ross acting as the master compiler for that came up with a draft master list of priorities, or rather a draft ranking with priority values. That was the basis of the only conference call that has taken place for this working group. Took place last Monday, 10 days ago, 26th, where members discussed a little about what they had put into their priority views, and there was a discussion if this draft list should be twisted one way or another, or complemented by indicating issues that, for example, single out the issues that were very easy to address for some kind of a quick checkout counter approach. And perhaps also there should be a cluster of closely related issues for to be treated in the group. This discussion eventually emerged in the conclusion not to make any such suggestions as a group, but rather to complement this priority list with comments from the members. And members were given until tomorrow to provide Ross with those comments, and following that, Ross will compile this in a report for council early next week. Well, that's a summary of what has happened and what's in store for next week.
Thanks, Olaf. I'll open it up for questions and comments by the whole council, but before that I wanted to ask, I assume that the task of clustering the other issues was to possibly facilitate consideration of PDPs on groups of the recommendations. Was that the intent? And how will that happen if there's not going to be clustering? Is the group going to come forward with a recommendation in terms of how to proceed, like breaking it up into smaller PDPs that are common in area of focus, or what?
Well, if I may respond, indeed, the purpose of the exercise is to prepare for additional PDPs, not to amend the already launched PDP in any sense, and the priority list would serve as a starting point for that. And, well, the grouping of the issues from various points of view, easy to do, important but too difficult to address, very closely related, I would believe that there will be commentaries or comments, individual comments, along those lines, but basically there will be a priority list delivered of consisting of a ranking of those 19 issues for the council's further consideration.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? All right. Thanks, Olaf, and thanks to Ross and this group of volunteers that's working on that. One last question. What's the target time frame for finishing the work?
Next week. So comments from the group members by close of business Friday, tomorrow, that is, and Ross stating that he will be able to provide it to the council early next week.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Next we go to the work that needs to be done on the WHO studies. And our task today is to create a team that would work with staff in that regard. So unless anybody wants to provide any clarity on that task, I assume that what we should do is see if we can get some volunteers on this call. And I don't believe that the volunteers have to be counselors, so hopefully each of you have consulted with your constituencies to see if there's any volunteers within your constituencies that would like to volunteer for this task. And as I understand it, and I welcome other people to jump in on this, the task basically is to provide additional definition so that staff can perform the cost estimates that we asked for in our motion that we passed in Los Angeles. And the task, as you can see in part three of the motion on the agenda there, that staff has to provide rough cost estimates for various components of the data gathering and studies by February 15th. So this group would be working to help provide additional definition, more clarity in terms of the data gathering and study requirements.
Chuck, if this is Liz, if I could just put one finer point on it.
Yeah.
I think it's actually going to be more like a three-step process getting to the cost. So the first thing I think the group would do is come up with a template or format, perhaps expanding on, you know, what I circulated to you guys offline, that would be an appropriate form to solicit views from a wider community. In other words, I don't think the whole burden of coming up with what study or excitement, depending on how you look at it, of coming up with the study content would fall on those particular immediate volunteers. What would be the responsibility, you know, with staff would be to come up with the appropriate way of asking the questions or soliciting the input, then having a period of time where everyone can provide input using that methodology, and then staff and the council would take that and come back with, you know, take that and do some cost estimates in preparation for Delhi. So I just wanted to add that additional detail.
Thanks, Liz. Another point of clarification. And it's not the task of this group to design any studies or data gathering instruments, but rather to provide enough definition so that some cost estimates can be developed. Is that correct?
Yeah, but I think the immediate task would be to just come up with what are the questions we even want to ask the council and the wider community about what we want to study, and in what format should those questions be asked, because I think we want to invite the possibility that council members or others might identify additional areas of study that this little rump group may not even have thought of. So first step, come up with a format that everyone agrees to solicit what should be studied. Second step, distribute that format to the community as appropriate. Third step, evaluate the returns. And fourth step, evaluate do a general cost assessment based on those returns and what looks most desirable, and come back by Delhi with those costs.
Okay, thanks. Any questions on what the task of the group is going to be? Okay. Now for volunteers.
One thing I wanted to point out, this is Aubrey. We have on our schedule having a review of the form with the whole council at our next meeting. So getting the first step done is over the next week or so.
Yeah, good point. Short deadline.
Yeah.
Chuck Phillips here. The BC is volunteering Steve Del Bianco to help on this little team.
Okay. Thanks, Philip. I appreciate you being prepared on that.
And Milton Mueller is on this team for NCUC. I just want to make sure that you guys are aware of that.
Thank you very much. Robin, appreciate that.
Thank you.
Any others? I can tell you that we have not yet identified a volunteer from the registry constituency. I'm assuming that it's my assumption that we don't necessarily have to have a representative from each constituency, but I think it would be good that we have give opportunity for every constituency that wants to be represented, including the NOMCOM reps.
Chuck, this is Christina. IPC anticipates providing a name. We've actually got more candidates than we need, so we're trying to get that sorted out.
Okay. Now, you know how quickly you'll be able to get that sorted out, Christina?
I'm expecting by this time tomorrow.
Excellent. Okay. And so you'll communicate that to the council list so that...
Absolutely.
Okay. While we're waiting for any other volunteers, is the assumption that this group would be led by Liz or led that the group would select its own leader? What are the thoughts on that?
This is Aubrey. I saw us as helping Liz with this task.
I didn't catch all of that, Aubrey.
I'm sorry. I saw us as helping Liz with this task, but I mean, the group can accept a leader, but it really was us helping Liz, so unless she doesn't want to lead it.
Thanks.
I'm happy to lead it.
Is there any objection to Liz leading the group?
Chuck here, Philip here. Just to speak in support of that, I think that sounds eminently sensible. It's a little planning group. We needn't be too formal about it.
Thanks, Philip. Any objections to that approach? Hearing none, that sounds reasonable to me as well. Any other volunteers? So far we have three people if we include Liz.
Is that me?
Chuck, this is Tim. Excuse me. I'm not volunteering, but... The registrar's constituency haven't really even discussed this, so that's something we'll do. What is the deadline for putting forward volunteers for the group?
Well, let me ask Liz, as the just identified leader, to suggest what kind of deadline would you like to set for this, Liz?
Well, I mean, considering that we have, essentially a week to release the form to the broader team for the study suggestions. I guess my feeling is we should be inclusive at whatever time anyone does identify someone that wants to participate, but that the group should get started right away, notwithstanding, you know, the delays that might necessarily exist, because we really do just have a week, and I do anticipate that people are going to, you know, want to put some real content down here. In fact, I was going to try on this call to suggest that we set up a, you know, I can distribute a form, but possibly set up a call for early next week to discuss it.
Okay, so it sounds like, Tim, in answer to your question, that if at all possible, try and identify a participant this week. If you're unable to do that, that doesn't mean the person can't participate later, but they will probably start early next week. So because of at least the one task that's due a week from now. So is that okay, Tim?
Yeah, understood. Thanks.
Thank you.
Chuck,
okay.
This is Aubrey. I have volunteered myself for it all.
Oh, I kind of thought I heard you say that, but I wasn't clear.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so Aubrey, thanks. Any others before we move on this? Do you need any other information, Liz, to proceed?
I don't think so. I'm good.
So we have three people identified: Steve Del Bianco from the business constituency, Mueller from the NCUC, Aubrey as a NOMCOM rep, and then the IPC and the registrars will provide a name. Others are welcome to provide a name as well, a volunteer as well. But until they do, I wouldn't assume that necessarily there will be. So it looks like you'll have at least five people.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, very good.
Thanks.
Thank you. Okay, going on to item five of the agenda, the IDNC and new CCTLD allocation issues discussion. This is one that we've allotted more time to, as you can see on the agenda, and one that does will probably require quite a lot of discussion. The IDNC, the CCNSO is forming the IDNC, the IDN, CCTLD IDN committee, and as it stands right now, and they have adopted, the CCNSO adopted a charter for this group, and there's a link to that charter, as well as a link to a board motion that makes reference to that charter in the meeting in LA. And basically, the charter of the group, in very short order, is to try by June to come up with a fast-track approach for introducing IDN TLDs that would be associated with ISO 3166 country code names. Now, please understand that doesn't mean these names will be two-character names. That really doesn't work in the IDN world. But they would be associated with the country codes. Nor does it necessarily mean that the names would be operated by the CCTLD operators that are in existence today. Those are all questions that came up in the issues report, the joint issues report of the GAC and the CCNSO. This group is tasked with what is supposed to be a very narrow responsibility of seeing whether they can come up with a plan to fast-track some IDN TLDs associated with the country codes, that until such time that the CCNSO can develop a more complete policy for IDN TLDs associated with country codes. Now, there's probably going to be a lot of debate on this. Right now, the charter of by the CCNSO says that the GNSO would have two representatives. and Aubrey has had, and Aubrey, if your voice was good, I wouldn't be trying to speak for you, but I'll try to do it to an extent. Hopefully I don't do too poorly so that I can save your voice, but I will let you correct me and jump in. I'll try and minimize the need for that. Aubrey has had several discussions with Krista Spain, the chair of the CCNSO, and on this issue, requesting that the GNSO be allowed to have more representatives than two on this particular group, and has not successfully convinced Chris that that's needed. I had one conversation with Chris. He had called me to discuss this as well. His words to me were that he's trying to minimize this the size of the group to make it effective, that it doesn't matter how many reps you have. The reason that he's looking at five for the CCNSO is one for each region and so forth, and the GAC could have that many as well. That the intent is it for it to be a consensus building group, that voting is not so important as the group being able to reach consensus, that they're trying to keep it on a lowest common denominator, just introducing fast track IDNTLDs in those cases where they're ready and where the operator's ready and there's a particular demand, and it would only be one per country code. If they're successful, I suppose, at keeping it at the lowest common denominator, the impact is much less than it would be if that charter is expanded. Now, again, Chris has not been positively responsive to Aubrey in terms of increasing the number of GNSO representatives on this group. As it stands right now, it's still two. And just to let people know, also on our agenda, as you'll see, would be for us to select two representatives today, and that doesn't necessarily mean that we will not continue to try to get larger representation in the group, but we do want to make sure we have two people that will be a part of the group from its beginning, and it's planned that group start working very shortly.
This is Tim.
Go ahead, Tim.
When you're ready for a queue, I'd like to get in it.
Okay. Well, Aubrey, I know I didn't do justice to your views on this. Do you want to jump in? You want
if
me to try
I,
to say
yeah,
more?
If I could quickly say a little, and it's not going to be about my views so much, but one is that there is no commitment to that one name per. So that's not in the charter, that's not in the resolution. So there is no commitment to the one name per existing CCTLD. Two, there's no current guarantee that he'll be able to restrict GAC and CCNSO participation to five people each. It's open. The chair of the CCNSO, the chair of the GAC, plus other members are included. It may be just five. It'll probably be at least six if it's all five regions plus one. But still, that's open. So that may be his hope. And the third thing is that he was quite clear in the idea that this was a CCNSO GAC issue, and that the GNSO is being invited for our expertise and for consultation, but that the issue of allocation of names from name states to CCTLDs is not GNSO business, it's CCNSO GAC business. And I sent two mails, one in response to Philip, sort of outlining my understanding of that issue, and I sent the email yesterday sort of trying to nail down a position. And I'll shut up now. Thank you.
And let me try to add a little bit to that too. One of the questions, key questions that comes up in this is it relates to allocation of names in the namespace. A fundamental question is the and Aubrey has communicated this via emails on the list, but are all names that aren't on the ISO 3166-1 list presumably generic namespace? And that's a key question, because if that's true, then it's very much an issue for the GNSO about allocation of names that aren't on that list. And I think probably most everybody's aware that it's very unlikely that ISO is going to create a new list for IDN names for countries and territories like it did for the two-letter country codes. So on what basis, then, would names be allocated to the space? And if we agree on the assumption that everything except the two-letter country codes on the ISO list are generic space, then, in fact, that's very fundamental to this whole issue, and it's a very big issue for the GNSO. Now, another, and Aubrey did a good job of articulating this in messages to the council, but another belief by some is that it's to be decided where these names, where names would go, whether they go in the G space or the CC space. And that decision needs to be made. Well, again, if that decision needs to be made, it's certainly an issue for the GNSO. So I hopefully communicated that well enough, Aubrey.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Now, let me open it up for a queue, and I've got Tim in the queue already. Who else would like to be? I'm sorry, I didn't hear either one of those.
I would like to say something.
Okay.
Norbert would like to speak.
Was that Olga? Is that right? The first name,
yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah, her is Olga.
Okay. And who was the third person?
Norbert.
Thank you, Norbert. Anybody else?
Philip.
Edmund. And who else?
Philip,
thanks. Others? Okay, we'll start, and I'm sure others will want to jump in the queue later. Tim, please start.
Yeah, well, I guess a lot of what I was going to say was kind of covered by you and Aubrey. I mean, the way I read the document, it didn't seem like there was the limitation that Chris was saying is actually in that document. So I'm not confident that limitation is going to actually apply. The other issue was that the idea that this isn't a GNSO issue, and you kind of covered a lot of that. I think that's really critical that we don't allow are not saying anything or not taking action to allow the GTLD space to be a good portion of it to be turned over to CCNSO policymaking, and that's a concern of mine without knowing exactly what these country names are going to come out of this. And as far as I'm aware, the only TLDs that have been put under the CCNSO's purview are the two-letter or two-character country codes. So I think that's a huge issue that needs to be resolved before this goes too far. And for us to just, I don't mean, I was going to say passively, and I know that hasn't been the case. I'm sure Aubrey's made an excellent argument for us to have more members in this thing, but I think we should continue to push that. In fact, all the arguments that Chris made why we shouldn't have more, I mean, those all sound like arguments as to why we should. And at the very least, if we can't get actual members, then I think we should insist that we have, that the others interested should be allowed as observers, and who can work with the actual members to make sure that our views and concerns are expressed and addressed within that group. But I think this is absolutely a GNSO issue, and we should be as involved as the CCNSO or the GAT.
Thank you, Tim. Olga.
Yes. In my understanding, the IBM PC TLDs would be used to transfer this two-letter code into the different scripts of the languages of each country. Each country may have one official language, two, three, or perhaps many more, but I don't see other than this two-letter script in this local languages. More than that, this is only CC TLDs in IBM's. The rest, in my understanding, would be new GTLDs. So I don't see that it should be more than one, two, or three. It depends on the country. There are countries that have only one language, which is perfectly compatible with ASCII, which is the case of the countries that speak languages like Spanish. And then there are perhaps some other local languages that can be considered. There could be some exceptions to some countries that have many local languages like 20 or 15. But I don't see more than these two letters in becoming into another language. That just new an IBM CCTLD, no more than that. The rest for me, it's a new GTLD and should go under the new GTLD rules. So I think that the rest, so most of it, it's a GNSO issue. That's my opinion.
So you're saying that, and I just want to make sure I'm clear, you're saying that it should be limited to what, the number of official languages, scripts associated with languages in a country?
Because the idea is to use these two letters in the languages that the countries are usually express themselves. That's my understanding of IDNs.
Okay. And you understand that when you come up with an IDN version for a country code, that it won't necessarily be two characters?
It depends on the language, because I've been talking to people from Egypt and for other countries. I don't speak Arabic, I don't speak Chinese, I only speak languages that come from Latin origin. So they told me that two characters is not enough, that sometimes they need more, perhaps four, five, it depends on the language. But it shouldn't be any number of characters, in my modest opinion, and they should be related with the languages that they want to express themselves in these two letters that before didn't include their languages, and now IDNs include the new language. So,
thank you. Thanks for clarifying that. Okay. Norbert.
I just wanted to underline what you said, Chuck, that it is an eminently it is an issue which definitely should be under the GNSO policy. It's not just a technical question. That's my point one I want to make. It should be under our policy. The second point, I understand that Edmond is here, and he had recently already written something. I think he will repeat this about the question of having one in the fast track. I'm not going to speak on that, but Edmond is here, I think. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Norbert. Edmond, you're on.
Yeah, well, on the one language per, I think Avery also mentioned, in fact, the charter right now doesn't, specify that. And I think after very long discussions, CCTLDs themselves are having trouble with that particular item, and hence it was not included in the fast-track charter. In terms of what I wanted to really bring up is I think I wanted to echo what Tim said earlier, a couple of things. One, in the area that we, I think, Avery, would like for you to continue to fight for a little bit more representation. If that's not materializing, at least to have observers, additional observers from GNSO on the committee. And I think, one element that is brought up is very important in that what one critical issue of what the unallocated space is going to be is going to be one which I think completely, most likely out of scope from the IDNC committee because it should be focused very narrowly on a fast-track approach. Whereas if we do touch on that particular issue, the representation of the NSO would really help to make sure that we deal with it appropriately. One more thing is on the in terms of the whole concept. I think the whole concept of what the unallocated names, where it belongs, is definitely a fairly critical discussion that needs to go on in terms of the whole IDN GTLD, whole IDN TLD, whether it's G or CC or whatever we call it. And this process, actually, I'm personally somewhat in favor of this fast track process because it does help us, if it's done well, it could help us narrow down some of the issues and provide input to that particular discussion that will come later, which also, is indicated from the charter as well. So, I guess I personally would really like to participate, and it has been one of the, items that has been, what I really care about. And I think this is going to be a very important, one of the most important decisions ICANN's going to make, especially in terms of TLDs. So.
Edmund, let me get a little clarity. I think I heard you say that definitely the GNSO needs to be involved because this whole question of where the namespace belongs on the G side or the C side needs to be answered, and that should be answered first. Is that correct?
Actually, not exactly. I think that is a question too big for the IDNC itself, and also in terms of the components of it. I mean, obviously, Chris mentioned that he wants to control the number of participation from GAC and CC NSO. I really don't see that. I think more CC TLDs are going to participate, and more GAC members are going to participate in the group. And this particular discussion should not be concluded in this IDNC committee. Rather, the work of the IDNC committee should ultimately provide input to that particular discussion.
Okay, so possibly a separate process, not a CCNSO issue, but an ICANN issue, should be initiated to answer the bigger question.
That would be my perspective on it, but the work from this IDNC would definitely provide some input to it.
Yeah, thank you. And
Chuck, this is Tim, if I can get back in the queue.
Okay, I'll put you back in, Tim. Edmund, another point of clarity. But at the same time, with that understanding, you do support the fast-track approach. With what limitations?
Or if any?
Well, I think the way that I would see it, it's almost like the experimental baskets that we did for GTLDs. That's one way of looking at it, I think. And this is exactly what we're trying to go through. There is pent up sort of demand, at least from a number of regions in the world for this IDN TLDs, and this would help ease that strong demand that might end up creating issues of unique root or those type of stability issues, and at the same time it would create create data points for us as we consider the larger question, as we consider a more full deployment for CCQ, in terms of country codes for IDN TLDs.
Okay, thanks. Just wanted to add one thing. A couple people have mentioned this idea of if we can't get more than two members on the IDNC, maybe there could be some observers added as well. Another option I saw somebody suggest somewhere is the idea of allowing alternates for the two reps in cases where they would not be able to participate, to make sure that we always had a minimum of two. I'm not advocating one way or another. I'm just throwing that out as another idea that was proposed. And let me now go to Philip.
And Chuck, can you put me in the queue for later?
Got it, Aubrey.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chuck. Just a few comments, and these are more personal than constituency, as we've not discussed some of these issues in detail yet. Point one, I think, is we need to be aware that once you've got governments involved and GAC on this issue, there is unlikely to be much logic, but a lot of emotion. So I don't think we can cleanly extrapolate from our new DGLG process in a logical way to see about certain outcomes. We also can't expect there to be any precedent in terms of some sort of mapping of a historic 3166 list into IDNs. It simply doesn't work. Fast track one per country will be fine for some countries, absolutely anachronistic and impossible politically for others because of the shared multiple scripts there. So I think solutions are not simple and logic isn't always going to work. Point number two, on the numbers game, we're only off of two places at the moment. I'm not sure it actually matters so much. If we've got five GAC members in this group, they're not going to be voting. GAC isn't going to be voting unless they do so at a block under the direction of the whole of GAC, and it's very unlikely you'll see that. So they are participating. So I think this is a group for discussion. As long as we've got two people who can feed back to us, that seems to be quite good enough for my perspective. But I certainly support the idea of having alternates, so we always do have two at the table in case of simple practicality of absence. And the third point is, in terms of trying to promulgate a particular view, it's a little bit sort of preempting some of the discussion that's going to take place there. So I think it's very hard to do. And I'd have thought the only thing that we could do as a GNSO at the moment is to say, well, our view currently is that all IDNs are in the generic namespace until such time as there is an agreement on any sort of reservation policy. And we are not necessarily against some sort of reservation policy, but we reserve judgment until we actually see what such a policy may be. And I would suggest that is probably the minimum level of agreement we can come to at the moment, because frankly we don't know what options may come out of this group.
Thank you, Philip. Tim, you're back in.
Thanks, Chuck. Yeah, actually I agree with just about everything that Philip just said. You know, both in regards to the alternate, I think that's a good solution, as long as those two alternates are always allowed to, you know, to be involved to the point where they can stay up to speed with what's going on. You know, I like the idea that we reserve the opinion that these names are in the GTLD space until there's some policy work that's done that might make it otherwise. And the reason is that, you know, the CCTLD space, even as it is today, is becoming, you know, very competitive with the GTLD space. Yet, and I know to some degree I may be preaching to the choir here, but, and yet, you know, they don't have the same types of agreements that the GTLD registries have with ICANN. They're not required to only allow ICANN-accredited registrars to access the registry and to offer registration services. But all those things apply to the GTLD registry. So there's really an imbalance that could occur here, and it is occurring in some degree, between the CTLD space and the GTLD space. So as we consider letting that CCTLD space expand without, you know, as it is today, just under these framework documents and no other agreements with ICANN, we have to think about, you know, how that affects us as businesses, as registrars and registries, and how that affects the user and business constituencies in regards to, you know, the other policies and rules that apply to domain name registrations in the GTLD space. So I think it's a really huge issue, and in my estimation, it seems that that's something that should be understood clearly as the IDNC does its work, so that whatever comes out of it, you know, is taking that into consideration, that this might not necessarily be CCTLD space. So I just think that's an important concept that somehow should be clear up front.
Thanks, Tim. By the way, just to add one thing there, I don't know how many of you saw Milton Mueller's blog post on this issue. But he raises another nuance that's very different for CCs than it is for Gs. For a new IDN GTLD, it's going to cost several hundred thousand dollars to even get a chance to play, whereas it's a free giveaway in the case of the IDN world for in the CC world. So, and I'm not again trying to push Milton's position or not. I just thought it was an interesting point that he raises in that regard. Aubrey, you're on.
Okay, thanks. I'm going to make three quick issues. One has to do with official languages. Somebody brought up official languages at one point before. Not all countries have an official language. So that's another reason why people have stayed away from that notion of official languages. The second point I wanted to make is that they're quite specific in the charter to state that anything that the IDNT does not set precedent for the CC and SOE PDP on the full solution for CC TLDs. So the only thing that I see as setting precedent is who gets to make the decision, that precedent gets set. But and that's an ICANN-wide precedent. But in terms of policies regarding CC TLDs, those will not serve as precedents. And the third thing I wanted to say is that with regard to the charter and the GNSO participation, the position, as I understand it, is that the charter was approved by the board at the specific people level. So one thing that the council may want to consider is if we'd like either the addition of more representatives or the addition of backups or observers, that we may need to send a letter of request to the board asking them to consider that in regard to the charter.
Thank you, Aubrey. Does anybody else want to get in the queue at this time?
Chuck, this is Tina. Can I meet you in the queue?
Go ahead.
Thanks. So I wanted to start out by saying that I can certainly see this discussion and the arguments from both sides, but I think it's really interesting that it's opening up a very specific namespace discussion and who does the namespace belong to, and I personally don't think that it belongs to anybody. So for me, IDN TLDs are TLDs. They're not IDN CC TLDs or IDN GTLDs, and we agreed on that when we met in Lisbon. Now, I know that wasn't like a CCNSO council or a GNSO council decision or anything like that, but it was a very broad agreement. And I think getting IDN TLDs...
Tina, let me interrupt you. Broad agreement by who? I just want you to clarify that.
Well, we had a workshop on IDN policy in Lisbon, and there was both GNSO members and CCNSO members and GAC members in a very full room. So I was just trying to say that, you know, at least from a technical standpoint, these TLDs are not different, and that getting them or getting some of them deployed for production should be beneficial to both groups. And I think if it's not possible to reach some sort of like middle ground on this, it means that it's going to take a much longer time for us to get there. So I'm wondering if some of the following observations is going to help the GNSO concerns a little bit. If this exploration of a fast track is successful, it needs to hold some of these elements. There needs to be restrictions about what strings can be allocated. They need to be very CC specific. There's already been a lot of discussions about how we cannot have any new CC TLDs that kind of look like a GTLD. So they need to be very country or territory specific. There needs to be some restrictions around what does ready mean when we talk about these are a limited number of IDN CC TLDs to those who are ready to go ahead and launch and go live with that. You know, what does that mean? Some restrictions around that. Also something that I think that hasn't been mentioned yet is that if any TLDs are allocated in this fast track or as a result of this fast track, then they need to follow the rules that are later going to be set in the formalized PDP that the CCNSO also has initiated. And then I was, there's three things that are a little, maybe a little bit sensitive, but I'm gonna mention them anyways. One is that maybe you can compare it a little bit to the initial round of new utilities. And there was no CC interaction as far as I remember. Now, I was not ICANN at that time, so I only saw that from a registrar standpoint. But I don't think there was really much, if any, CC interaction in that round. And it was a limited number, and that is what we're talking about in this one as well. In terms of timing, I know there's a lot of concerns about who gets to go first from the staff point of view. We're trying to merge all of these introductions of new TLDs to have them go on at the same time. So this thing about who gets to go first and stuff, yeah, you know, somebody is going to be physically inserted in the route before someone else, but you know, we're trying to merge those timelines and make it happen at the same time, which, of course, doesn't mean exactly the same second, but point probably taken. In terms of contracts and fees and all of that, and which is where the CCs and the Gs today are very different, I think that is something that hasn't been decided on and probably needs to be discussed a little bit further. So those were just like a couple of things from the top of my mind, and I hope it's something that you can that will help your concerns a little bit. But I really do think, you know, if we want to try to do something as quickly as possible, it needs to reach a middle ground, and that means that we need to get some of the GNSO people on this group and get it started.
Thank you very much, Tina. I want to follow up on at least one of the things that you said there, and that's this whole idea of finding some sort of middle ground, or if we believe there is a middle ground. And let me preface my question that I'm going to ask for counselor responses on like this. I think one extreme position is that the CCTLD space is the ISO 3166-1 list, period, no more. Anything else is GTLD space. That's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum, I suppose, can vary, but the question I would ask is that do we reasonably believe that that it's good for countries or territories to have an IDN version or versions of their country code names, realizing that's not going to be a two-character thing in many cases, for use in their country and territory and users of the script that they use. Is that something that the council generally supports? That, assuming that it's limited pretty much along the line that Tina just said, with certain restrictions and that it's related to their country or territory, et cetera. Where are people at on that? Or is there anybody that's at the extreme that everything outside of the 3166 list is GTLD space?
Yeah.
Who is that?
Olga, I think that you're right. I agree with you. For me, CC space is ISO 31 list, first in ASCII and perhaps in IDNs, in different scripts. That's my idea of the CC space.
Let me make sure I'm clear on what you're saying, Olga. Are you saying that, in other words, .cn for China, .cn is the only thing that CC space. Any .china in simplified Chinese would be GNSO space?
Yes, that's my opinion.
Okay, so any IDN names associated with countries or territories would be GNSO space?
Outside the list in different
scripts, yes.
Okay, well, but that's the part I'm not understanding. What do you mean in different scripts? So it's okay for China to have a simplified version of China.
I imagine .cn, I don't speak Chinese, so I don't know the names of the characters. So I imagine this CN word, letters in other languages written, I don't know if it's 1, 2, 3, or 4. That's how I see an IBNCC. The rest for me should be a GTOV.
Well, it's not, okay, I'm not a linguist in any sense, and certainly not in Chinese. So, but my understanding is that you can't do the abbreviation CN very well and represent it. So they would probably represent the country name, China. That decision hasn't been made. So would that, if they did that, would that name be in the CCNL space or the GNSO space?
I cannot imagine the CC space out of the list. That's my understanding of the CC space.
So CC space would just be ASCII names?
Not necessarily, but it could be in other scripts. But if you put the whole name of the country in other scripts, I see that as a G space.
Okay, all right. So I think I understand your position. Aubrey, did you want to say something
Tim?
There too?
Yeah.
And Tim, I have you. Anybody else want to get in the queue while I'm taking names?
Edmund is one.
Okay.
Mike or Robin.
Did I hear Mike?
Yep.
And Robin? Okay. Aubrey, go ahead.
Okay, yeah. And I'll be brief in this case, because it is my personal viewpoint, is that I believe that until such time as I can, as a whole, both SOs and the advisories have done a reallocation, that yes, the position is that all our namespace, IBN and ASCII, is generic except for the 3166-1 two-character ASCII. Now, I do believe that that's something that ICANN as a whole should discuss, we should discuss a reallocation. But until such time as we've done that as a community, the namespace is generic, with the single exception. And that's one of the reasons why I believe that we should have a full representation in this IDNC, because this IDNC is making the first exceptions to that. And I totally support the notion of a fast track to help new IBN CCTLDs happen, but I don't, and I don't think it can wait for the full reallocation discussion. So therefore, this is sort of a first mini reallocation discussion, and I believe we have to be there represented fully.
Thank you. Tim?
Again, this is one registrar's view. It's not a constituency view. But I agree completely with Aubrey in that regard. The clear reality is that not all these CCTLDs are just used for, you know, the public benefit of the local people in their country. And yet, you know, there'll be these additional IDNs are going to be allocated that way. Perhaps under that concept, but that's really not fair or completely true. And I'm not picking on any whatsoever. I don't have any problem with what Western Samoa is doing, with what Tuvalu is doing, but it's clear that, you know, any allocation of additional names, is not going to be used just for, you know, the benefit of the people in public within those countries, just by looking at, you know, the way their CCTLDs are marketed and promoted today. So I think it's important, this whole issue about, you know, GTLD space versus CCTLD space is important from the GNSO's perspective, and especially, if one of ICANN's, principles is to, you know, promote competition to the extent possible, however that's put in the bylaws. And I think that needs to be a consideration here.
A question of clarification, Tim. Are you supportive then of a fast-track approach with the limitations that you just said and that Aubrey said?
I think so. I don't necessarily have a problem with the fast track approach. It's what, you know, under what policies and rules are those new TLDs going to be going to come under? And I think that's the bigger question. I don't know if it's really. I think if you talk to the CCNSO, from my what I've heard so far, it seems like they have a completely different view of it than what we do, and so I don't think there's any consensus on how that should be handled by any means, but I think that's a huge issue that should be getting answered sooner than later.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Edmund.
Yeah, since Avi really has said most of the things I wanted to say, bring up, I really agree with point of view in terms of the fast track and also the bigger discussion. I just wanted to actually bring back one of the things that Tina mentioned in terms of the discussion we had in Lisbon, and also it's not the only time. It has been a consistently the conclusion of many particular discussions is that perhaps there are, you know, right now it's very difficult to draw a black and white line between. And once we step into IDNs between CCNG or whether it's completely a separate, you know, IDN TLD sort of space. And this fast track is really going to inform us a lot more about this issue. And, you know, I think it would be, I just think in general, if the GNS Council takes a particular position right now in that particular regard would be probably not extremely appropriate, but I think, you know, the nuances and the issues with IDN TLDs are a little bit slightly different than the ASCII space, and we really need to bear that in mind when we talk about the distinction between CC and NG.
Thank you, Edmund. Mike?
thanks, Chuck. I kind of echo Tim and Ari's comments to a large extent. I mean, I think Ari's got it definitely right. That's where we're at on the spectrum you proposed. Now, today, only the two letters are reserved for country codes. I note in the charter, the first sentence of the charter, the purpose, says that it's the fast track is to approach a limited number of IDNCCs associated with the ISO 3166 two-letter codes. So that, to me, is sort of a limiting factor that's good from our perspective with the IDNCs. Work. But I do think that this definitional decision ought to be made, like Tim says, you know, sooner rather than later. I'd hate to see this group form and get far down the road discussing things that are away from the 3166 list. I just feel like we need to take a stand and get it decided that the CC's purview is only that list. And I think that most of us, are, if not all of us on the council, are willing to recognize that of course, IDNs need to go beyond two characters, but should certainly not go beyond a direct reference to a country's name.
Thanks, Mike. Robin.
Thank you, Chuck. I just wanted to register my support for what I'm hearing from most folks, Avery and Mike and Edmund and Tim. I think I'm on the same page as what these guys are saying, that we need to limit it to this list, and of course they can go beyond two characters, but we need to put some kind of limitations on there in there, and we need to be a part of the decision that decides what is the scope of our authority and their authority.
Thank you, Robin. Okay, let me try and head this in a direction where we can get some closure on some things. First of all, let me ask this question. Where do people stand in terms of do we want to request equitable representation or more representation, however we want to word it, on the IDNC group? Let's not worry about how we do that yet, whether we go to the board or go to the CCNSO or whatever, but is there agreement that we would like to increase that? Philip, I think, made a statement that two people could, with alternates, could possibly represent us well. Where do the rest of the people think? Do we want to request greater participation than two in the IDNC group?
Chuck, this is Christina. If I could get McHugh.
You're in.
Okay. If we are close to agreement, and I apologize if I'm mischaracterizing it, but it sounds as if we're heading in that direction, that this is an important policy issue for the GNSO, it seems inconsistent with that to then be satisfied with only two representatives.
Okay. So you would
support. I would push for more.
Okay. Is there anybody that's opposed to pushing for more? So it's fair to assume that we're in agreement that we would like to request more. That doesn't mean that we can't have a fallback plan if we fail, like alternates or observers or some other fallback plan. So,
and since we have in our agenda for later, I definitely, and I think I made that clear, that I want to push for more. But I do believe that we should pick today and the next part of the agenda, that we need to get two lined up. And even if we do two, three, four alternates, you know, we need to make sure that we've got two ready to go, even if we are doing an appeal.
Absolutely, and that's the plan. That's on the agenda, and we will do that. So that's good. Now, I think what we there's another issue that I want to pinpoint here, and that's this whole issue of where do names go? Do they go to the CCNSO or the GNSO? That's not one we're going to resolve in this meeting, nor are we going to try. Otherwise, we'll need another 4 or 5 hours if we could even do it then. It seems to me it would be very helpful between now and our next meeting on the 20th if we had a small group of people who would work among themselves to develop to be able to articulate what we're requesting and what requirements we have as far as this IDNC group, as well as the bigger issue of where do names go? Are they in the G space or the C space? Now, that's a bigger issue than the CCNSO and this group, as has been pointed out. But is that a reasonable approach to get 4, 5, 6 people that would develop some? Because I think we need to come up with something fairly specific and very clear. I think not later than our meeting on the 20th, and is this a reasonable approach?
This is offering, if I could be in the queue.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think it is. That was part of the reason why I offered, you know, a first shot at a statement that people could then start revising and editing, because I think we do need to have such a statement.
Okay. Anybody opposed to that approach? Okay, then listen, that means in the next couple weeks that whoever volunteers to work on this is going to need to be able to devote the time to work with the group, and the group can figure out how it does that. I'm sure we can set up a list. Glenn can set up a list if we need it, and that's probably helpful. We'll probably need somebody that'll take the leadership of the group, and the group can decide that, or we can decide that today. But let me start by asking for some volunteers. And by the way, the transcript, I think, is going to be, and the MP3 recording is going to be very good for this, because a lot of, I think, what needs to come out of this group has been said by various people in the comments that have been made. So there's a good start on it. Let me ask for some volunteers.
This is Olga. I volunteer not for leading the group, but for working.
Okay, Olga.
Edmund as well.
Who was that?
Edmund,
okay.
And Tim.
Tim? Any others?
This is Robin.
Okay. So we've got a good nucleus there. Is there anybody else that wants to participate in that? Okay. Anybody in that group want to volunteer to take the lead? And by that, I just mean somebody that will make sure it keeps moving and keeps the discussion going and being the overall coordinator so that it doesn't just sit waiting for somebody else to take action. Okay, let's do, let me approach it this way. Tim, would you be willing to do that? To make sure it gets flowing?
You know, ordinarily I would, Chuck, but I want to participate in this, but I, just giving what I see on my schedule over the next week or two.
That's fair.
I think it would be a stretch.
I'm just using this approach because I didn't have success on the other one. Olga said she really didn't want to lead it. Edmund or Robin?
I believe I can contribute. I guess the same issue with Tim. I'm traveling quite a bit in the next couple of weeks. But Avi, are you going to be participating as well? So.
Yes, sorry, I was cut off for a second. Yeah, I'd like to participate.
Okay, let me try this. Here's another idea for leading the group. Tina, would you be willing to participate in this group?
You know, Chuck, I just hit mute off. I was just going to ask you if you needed anyone from staff in that group.
We do. We need you.
Yeah, I'll on it.
Would you be willing to coordinate it and make sure it keeps moving for us?
I can do that.
Hey, thanks. Is that okay? Anybody object to that? Thank you very much, Tina. I appreciate that. And Glenn, you'll support Tina and the group in terms of a lift and getting it going, correct?
And this is Liz. If Tina, if you need any help or, you know, if I can help from the policy side, happy to work with you on that.
Excellent. And I think that's a good Thanks. Size, including the two staff people. We now have seven. And is there any question in terms of what the task is? Okay. Very good. Let me look at our agenda here. And then I think we'll decide, based on what comes out of that group on the 20th, whether or not we want to how we want to approach the board in this regard. But I think we do need to still answer the, you know, do we go, I think there's agreement that we want to go ahead and request increased membership on the IDNC. So,
this is Aubrey. I think that the statement and the notion of making a request to the board for further consideration of participation based on what I think is a general belief that the issue is of concern to the GNSL should be done in parallel.
Let me clarify, Aubrey. Are you saying that we should wait until till the 20th to request increased membership, or should we go ahead right now and request increased membership?
I think that if the majority of counselors think it's right to request more membership, whatever our starting position is, then I think we should make that request.
Now?
Now, yeah.
Yeah, okay, very good. That's what I'm just trying to be clear on. So I think this would be a good item, and please challenge me on that if you think differently, that if we actually had a motion to request, and I'm not trying to frame the motion, I'll let somebody else do that, but if we actually had a motion that we acted on in this meeting to request increased membership on the IDNC group, And from a protocol point of view, and again, I will respect other opinions on this, but from a protocol point of view, because the CCNSO believes this is their issue, I think it would be good to send a formal request from the full council to the CCNSO. Now, we could CC the board, or if that fails, we could then go to the board, but that's just my own opinion from a protocol point of view. Thoughts on that?
Can I make two? One, the CCNSO, if I understand, really sees this as a CCNSO /GAP issue, not just a CCNSO issue. But two, I believe that they that their assertion, and it's a correct assertion, although it can require interpretation, is that the charter approved by the board says, gives the apportionment of the team. And so I believe that we should go to the board directly. Now, we can ask for clarification, or we can ask for clarification plus consideration. But I would tend to believe that at this point, we should go to the board.
And how would you feel about going to both jointly, going to the CCNSO and the GAC, because the GAC referenced the charter in its motion?
Chuck?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I don't want to jump in.
Go ahead.
I would suggest that, given that it's the board, as I understand it, that would have to approve it, that the request should be posed to the board but simultaneously transmitted to the CCNSO and GAC chairs kind of as a courtesy.
Is that okay with you, Aubrey?
Oh, that seems eminently reasonable. Yeah, and of course.
Yeah. So would somebody like to make a motion that we request increased membership on
what
the...
I would like to suggest...
Go ahead.
...is, and I'm not saying we should make a motion, but that I could, as I've done with other letters recently, I could start drafting a letter and we could go through, you know, over the next couple of days, sort of an edit process on that, and perhaps we need a motion to do such a letter, but that I would generate the letter and do one of those. Everybody talks about it, you know, 24 hours of comment, and then send it off if that was acceptable to people.
Any objections to that? Now, it seems to me, and again, please feel free to disagree with me on this, that it would be good if we at least had a motion to request increased representation on this group.
Chuck, this is Christina. I'll go ahead and move that we submit a formal request to the board for increased GNSO participation on the IDNC.
Is there a second?
This is Edmund. I'm happy to second it.
Any discussion? Is anybody opposed to a voice vote? All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Who was the? Did someone oppose?
No, my aye was just a delayed.
Okay, good. Is there anybody that's opposed? Is there anybody that abstains? Okay, thank you. And I think this is important so that so that it's very clear that the full council is requesting this, that it's not just Aubrey or not just me or a few people. So thank you for that. Now,
so I'll draft up a letter today and send it out to the council so that we can do, you know, a little bit of wordsmithing to make sure that I don't say something that people don't want said, but I'll try and get it out in the next couple of days.
Thank you very much, Aubrey. And at least you won't have to talk to do that, right?
Exactly. My fingers type fine.
Good. All right.
As well as they ever do.
Okay. Before we, let's see. We need to talk a little bit about the status of the GNSO position on the issues paper and so forth, but it seems to me it would be very good for us to jump ahead just a little bit and select two representatives to...
Okay, I have a question at this point, and I put that in the list, is, are people comfortable with discussing, we've basically got four names at the moment, and I'll read them out in a second, and actually I want to add my name as a fifth name for you all to consider. And do people want to do this with recording on, or do people, since we're talking about people, and that's one of the few times when we do stop recordings or whatever, do people feel fine with continuing this discussion recorded, or would people like to basically have a non-recorded discussion of who the representatives are?
Any opinions on that? Anybody opposed to having it recorded? Okay. Then
okay.
We'll just continue with the recording.
Okay. Let me give you the four names I have, and as I say, I added my name, and I guess it's good that I'm not in the chair well at the moment. But we had Olga. We had Carrie Karp. Olga volunteered herself. Carrie Karp was put forward by the registries. We had Edmund Chung, who volunteered himself. We have Yoav Kerem, who volunteered himself. And I'm also putting myself in the list.
And this is Christina. I had put forth, the IPC had put forth Charles Chabon.
Oh, okay. Yes, yeah, sorry.
No, that's okay.
So we've got 16.
Okay. Now, let me just open it up for discussion. What criteria do you think we should use to select two people? Keep in mind, we're just selecting two right now. Hopefully, we'll be able to add more later. But in case we only end up with two, it's important that we choose the people that will be most selective, understanding that whoever the two people are, as Philip had indicated earlier, they would be responsible for representing the views of the council, even in cases where there may be multiple views of the council.
Okay, this is Olga. I would like to participate, but I would like to support Avery to be one of the two names.
Other discussion?
This is Christina. I don't know how familiar you all may be with Charles, and I'm happy to post his bio information to the list, but I think he would be a valuable member of that group. He's currently a member of the ITC. He just finished a term on the CCNSO Council. He's been very active on IDN matters and was on the IDN working group. He's on the UN IGF AG, the UN Working Group on Internet Governance. I believe he actually chaired the IPC's IDN Working Group back a couple years ago. He's an advisory committee member of the World Wide Web Consortium and a founding member and ex-board member of the Arab Internet Names Consortium and so on. I think he has a good background an excellent background in the issue, and I think the fact that he has the dual IPC and CCNSO experiences, I think that gives him insight into how we may be able to most strategically frame our positions in a way that, frankly, might be more likely to be accepted by CCNSO members. And as a member of the IPC, he also has a very strong understanding and appreciation of some of the types of issues that Tim had referenced kind of indirectly when we were talking about the differences between the GTLDs and the CCTLDs.
Anybody else want to be in the queue here? Philip and Tim, I think I heard. Anybody else?
Norbert?
Okay.
Norbert?
Okay. And anybody else besides Norbert?
Edmund.
I'm going to add myself, not as vice chair, but speaking as an individual as well. Okay. Philip.
Thanks. Just a couple of observations. Despite Alder's generosity in offering to stand down and suggest Avery, I would just note possibly two observations in that respect. One, I think, is workload. With Avery's council chair, that may be not the most appropriate move. Secondly, if we're serious about asking the board for greater representation, putting forward our chair as one of the two, I think, will be counterproductive. That's just a couple of observations. And my third would be that I'm very familiar with Charles Chabon, and I think he would provide quite a broad perspective because he has both a user, a registrar, and an IDN specialty expertise. He strikes me as bridging a number of interests that we cover in council.
Thank you, Philip. Tim?
Assuming I can direct questions to the candidates, and
sure.
Not to put anybody on the spot, but I just was
curious as to, you know, if something occurred in our discussion today that raised Aubrey's interest in being in, on the representing us, or if it was something she had thought about before. Just explain that, and then I just wonder what she thinks of what Philip's concerns as far as the time goes.
Okay, if you'd like me to respond now. I had thought of it before, first of all, in terms of the chairs of the CCNSL and the GAC being part of it. So I thought of it in that respect. I definitely understand Philip's two points, one about workload and one about, and especially I think the workload is manageable, but one about while I'm arguing for more representation, should I already be a representative? And I think that could go both ways. I guess I feel that I could be fairly forceful in defending what I believe is the GNSL position, and that's why I put myself forward. But I'm certainly willing to step back. I think Charles Chabon is an excellent. I think any of the other candidates are excellent. And so I certainly won't feel bad if someone says, no, it really should be other people. And then, you know, if we put people on alternates as backups, I'd certainly volunteer for that place, too. But I certainly accept a notion that it should be someone else.
Thank you, Aubrey. Thanks, Tim, for asking that. Norbert.
I think when we have to talk also about two people, we should maybe say one who's a counselor and one outside. I think Charles Chabon might be good. I do not see that it would be counterproductive if our chair would be the person from the council.
Thank you. Edmund.
I guess I'm trying to make a pitch. I think this is a very important issue that is being discussed, and I think I think Avi's participation would be great, but I somewhat think that it would be sort of much, you know, even better if we continue to fight for more representation. Would fight for at least observing on the committee. And just for, I guess, a little bit into this introduction myself or for other people, I've been working with IDN since really its inception in 99 and have followed through the whole policy process and has been very much involved in CCTLD, especially in Asia, where the big, pent-up demand or really demands is for the IDN TLDs and understand the political sensitivities with it, and also being from GTLD space, understand the overlapping things, if you will, rather than conflicting issues. And I really think, you know, my participation in the previous discussion of the Chinese domain consortium, the discussion of the ICANN IN guidelines and many continuing discussions would be really able to contribute to that particular discussion in the IDNC, which is focused very much on the fast track, which is focused a lot on the area, especially in the regions where it is most demand for. And of course, the in terms of the council's position, I'm more than comfortable to make a very, you know, make very strong statements about it in the committee. And I think that the balance that I could bring is, especially with the knowledge both technical and policy wise, and also the cultural and political sensitivities within the particular regions that are most eager for the IDN TLDs, I think that would really contribute to the whole process. And yeah, that's pretty much.
Thank you, Edmund. And then I'm now in the queue.
And then Chuck, can I get back in after you?
Sure, Tim. What I want to say is that in my opinion, and I'm not speaking as the person leading the meeting right now, okay? In my opinion, there are two criteria that are most important in the two people that we select. Number one needs to be a good understanding of IDEA issues from a technical and policy point of view. Now, by technical, I don't mean we need a technical expert. Obviously, Kerry Karp is recommended because he has kept us all straight over the years in terms of technical accuracy. So I don't. The person doesn't have to be of Kerry's caliber in terms of technical expertise in this regard. Okay, but they need to have a reasonable understanding of IDEA issues because, frankly, in the topic of IDN, there's a great deal of misunderstanding because it's a fairly complicated issue. And so a base of understanding is very important. So I think whoever it is needs to have that to adequately deal with the issues. Secondly, the person has to be able to easily represent the views of the GNSO and, in particular, the council. That raises the whole issue of should it be a counselor, and as I think most of you know, I'm one that often advocates just the opposite of that, but whoever it is needs to be well-versed in the discussions, the dialogue going on in the council, and adopted positions. And frankly, right now, we haven't finished our positions in the council with regard to a lot of these issues. That's the next topic we'll talk about on the agenda and the work that's going on in a small group that I'm leading for the council. So it's really important for me that happen. Now, what criteria can we use to measure that? Well, I think one way, people that were involved in the development of the draft GNSO paper certainly have been delved into these issues. People that were on the IDN working group of the GNSO certainly were involved in that. People that are involved now in the reworking of that paper are, I think, going to be real close to the issues. And, of course, people on the council hopefully should be as well. So I think it's really important that happen. If a person we choose, however qualified they may be, has to constantly be fed information from the council in terms of what's going on, that's going to be a bigger challenge than if it's somebody that can more directly represent us. And in that regard, I am not going to advocate one candidate over another. I just think that those are very important criteria. Now, a third one that may be less important, but I think could be considered, is the whole idea of people having good regional representation, you know, from key areas. Now, the areas we know where the need for fast-tracking is probably most keen is in Asia, okay? China, the Chinas and Koreas of the world, the Arabic world, and also the Israelis, and countries like India. Now, India is more complicated because of course, the multiple languages and so forth. But I just throw those out for us to consider as we decide how to select. Tim, you're on.
Thanks, Chuck. First, just a quick comment or suggestion, perhaps, and that is that you know, we might consider, you know, if we make this request to make our case for this request for increased representation, that that we ask that maybe the chair of the GNSO, you know, be included but not be counted as one of the selected reps. I mean, it would seem practical to me that the chair of the GNSO, the chair of the CCNSO, the chair of the GAC, they should all be automatically included. So just a suggestion on that. And then I was just wondering if Christina can elaborate at all on Charles' involvement in what I believe she said was the Arab Internet Consortium, just what that involved.
I actually don't have detailed information on that, but I am happy. And actually, Bilal, are you on the call?
Maybe I can help you.
Okay, because Bilal, I know, works with Charles.
Bilal, are you? I don't hear him.
Bilal's on mute.
Okay.
I'm still here.
Okay, go ahead, Bilal.
I thought Christine had a question.
Yes, the question was more about the Arab Internet Name Consortium.
ANC is I don't think it's active anymore. We ran through some problems, but I can check on that and get back to you with that sometime by Monday.
Christina, I actually had the opportunity of attending the inaugural meeting of ANC Jordan many
Excellent.
Years ago.
Good.
And it was off to a good start. Unfortunately, like Bilal said, it didn't continue. And it was a offshoot of MINC as well, and that's another organization that I think the participation has dwindled down to just a few people. I know Charles personally, and certainly he is well involved in the community there. So. I can attest to that.
This is Aubrey. Can I jump in the queue at some point?
Go ahead, Aubrey.
Okay, in terms of what I guess it was Tim said about, you know, making the chair role be an additional role as part of the letter and request we send, I'm certainly willing to do that and willing to step aside based on a presumption of succeeding with that. So if that makes it easier for the decision, you know, and I can even ask separately for observer status as chair, and if that works better for people to give more leeway for the decision.
Anybody opposed to that approach? Okay. I mean, I think that was a good idea, Tim, and so I think that would be good to be in that letter. Okay. So now we're down to four candidates. How do we select two candidates out of four? Anybody have any suggestions in that regard?
Can I speak again?
Yes.
I agree with your notion that we really should be choosing people within the council at this point. I think as we succeed with our board request to open it up to others, then we should and almost must outreach beyond the council. But I think certainly at the beginning here, when we're still figuring it out, where there's still going to need to be a lot of give and take between the IDNC and the council with our, representatives. I think if they're members of the council, it's better.
Discussion on that?
Yeah, this is Christina. I mean, as I understand the number of candidates left, I mean, the only person who's interested that is a member of the council and has been for this discussion is Edmund. I mean, Carrie is no longer on the council.
That's true.
You know, with all due respect to Olga, I don't think that her relatively short tenure on the council should be sufficient to kind of counteract. I mean, I just don't think that if that is our concern, is having somebody who's been plugged into the discussions, I don't think somebody who's only had the opportunity to work with us on them for a month is really in a position to do that.
Okay,
so
can I
get up to speed, but...
Let me take a cue. Who's next?
Can I ask a question?
Aubrey, go ahead.
Charles is not someone that can get in through the CCNSO representation, correct?
Well, it's my understanding that he's actually no longer on the council.
Oh, okay, sorry. That was...
Right.
Okay, anybody else want to comment on that? Should we... If we literally restricted the counselors, at least two candidates, Olga and Edmund, if we follow Norbert's suggestion of one on the council and one not, obviously that opens it up further. Go ahead.
I know I said about the two counselors. I think that if we had... Edmund and Charles, it would definitely be a good representation. I just wonder how we would sort of keep in sync with Charles. Would he attend council meetings for that part of the discussion, or how would we do that?
Chuck, this is Olga.
Go ahead.
Yes, I totally agree that I have been quite a few time with the council. I am very interested in this issue. So I would like to work on the issue, but I think that we should have our chair, as the GAC has their chair, and as the CCNSO have their chair in this group. That's my idea. And I have no problem of working and backing up and allowing other people to participate in this too.
Thank you.
Chuck, Philip here. How about the suggestion which we hopefully may be coming close to? Why don't we go for Edmund and Charles with alternatives in Olga and Carrie? And we allow Avery to attempt representation by a different route, which sounds a good scheme.
Thanks, Philip. Any discussion on that?
Yeah, this is Robin. I'm not sure that we want to do that. I think that a number of us would like to have Avery, to be sure that Avery is one of our representatives in this group.
So, but if we're going to request that Avery serve on their either as an observer or a participant as chair, then I don't think we want to select her as one of the two reps as well.
Well, but what I'm saying is they may or may not take that suggestion, and so, if they decide not to take that suggestion, then many of us don't get a chance to have our candidate on the in the group.
Philip, Robin, I think it's highly likely that if they turn around and say, no, you can only have two, you can't have six, whatever anything you ask for, and then we suggest a compromise, we have our chair as well, I'd be extremely surprised, given ICANN's normal way of operating, that we don't get Avery there. Otherwise, I would similarly support that suggestion, but I think we are shooting ourselves in the foot if we put our chairman up for these two roles at the moment.
Philip, would you like to... I think maybe I'm trying to just move this thing forward. Would you like to put your suggestion forward as a motion?
Certainly. I'd like to propose that our two candidates are Edmund Chung and Charles Chaban, and we have alternates as Olga Cavalli and Carrie Karp.
Is there a second?
This is Bill. I'll second that.
Thank you. Any more discussion? Okay. Is anybody opposed to a voice vote on this?
Excuse me, Chuck, who seconded?
I think it was Bilal, wasn't it?
Thank you.
Yes, it was.
Thanks, Bilal. Is anybody opposed to a voice vote on this? We can do a roll call if somebody wants. If just one person wants it, we'll do it. Okay. We'll do a voice vote. All in favor of this motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Is anyone opposed? Does anyone want to abstain?
This is Edmund. I guess since I'm subject to the item, I'll abstain.
I didn't understand that. Edmund, are you abstaining?
Yeah, because I'm part of the motion. So
okay,
I guess.
All right. Okay. Thank you. I don't know that that's necessarily required, but that's the way of saying.
I think you're allowed to vote for yourself.
Okay.
So you're not abstaining.
Well, in that case, I don't have to abstain, then I'm good with agreeing.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Edmund.
Yeah, it's one place where I think conflict of interest is allowed. Okay, so if I understand where we're at, I'm going to write up a draft of a letter today to the board that will be copied to the CCNSO and to the GAC chairs, asking for expansion of the group to include more people, essentially, I think, to include, all the candidates that we had. I'm also going to let the group know that we've picked two people with two alternates, and let the group know that there's a request that the GNSO chair be allowed to participate at least as an observer until such time as we have a ruling on our request for expansion. Does that make sense?
Does to me. Any other comments?
No, I was Tim. I guess I was a little confused. I was assuming that we would make the chair request either way.
Okay, yeah, no, I was going to make the request. I guess I was going to make the request as part of the board letter request, but I can also make it directly to Chris, if that seems reasonable.
Yeah, I guess I was just thinking that the ultimate goal would be, if possible, that you are included regardless of whether they allow us to have two and an alternate, or four, or only two without alternates. However, that comes down, that the chair would still be allowed.
Thank you.
It would be my preference.
Yeah, okay. Because that's what I was... Since Philip had mentioned that as a compromise position, that the chair become a third member, that's why I put it in the structure of that I would ask to participate as an advisor until such time as we got the decision from the chair, and then if becoming a full member became the right thing to do compromise-wise, then that would still be available as a compromise, as opposed to going to Chris at the moment and saying, well, we've picked two, we're appealing the decision on numbers to the board, and by the way, will you let me be a member also? And that was... So that's why I was only going to ask to participate as an observer until such time as we had the board's ruling. But I'm willing to go either way. I was just thinking
okay.
that...
I think that makes sense, Aubrey. I just didn't understand completely. Thank you.
So you're okay with that, Tim? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Very quickly, because we're just about out of time, and we need to at least quickly go over... We've got a couple of some any other business, plus we've got the action items that we should at least cover at a high level. With regard to the progress on the GAC CCNSO issues paper on IDN TLDs, the group has been formed. We had our first meeting on Monday, and we're in the present week time frame leading up to Monday. Everybody's got a responsibility to respond to some areas in the report that we think need revising and comments, and we're doing that via Google Documents. So that is happening. We're trying by the 20th, at least, to, or just before the holiday, before the Christmas holiday, at least make progress on a rough draft with a proposed changes, and then our goal is by the 18th of January to have revisions that we would present for full council consideration in the response to the issues paper. Any questions on that? Okay. Then let's move on. That was item G. I think, did I skip anything in that other, Aubrey, if you see anything?
No, I think you're okay. What I would suggest we do now is we jump to the first and the other business item of the support for the traveling. Since I feel I need some clarification on how to act next based on today's conversation. And then we can go back quickly to a review of the items, and I suggest that we push the IDN email list discussion off to the next week if people accept that as a proposal.
Any
in the
opposition?
Last minute.
Any opposition to that approach? Okay.
Okay.
Travel can expenses. Go ahead.
Okay. So I think we've got two things. I think we have a letter that has almost stabilized to Paul. And I also think that what was developing today was a discussion with Doug and Denise on utilization of money. Now, it appears to me that we should proceed on both of these in parallel. However, I wanted to make sure if that was the right assumption.
Anybody disagree with that assumption? So I think we can assume that that's okay.
Does anybody believe that that letter still needs discussion, or is that letter, I don't know that we need a vote on it, but we can do a vote. Does anyone object to that letter going forward now? Do we need a vote on it?
I think now speaking as a registry constituency rep that we need some discussion.
Okay.
Now,
I would agree. This is Tim. I mean, I have my personal views, but we have a better sense of the constituency views, which are pretty mixed.
Okay.
The discussion would be good.
Let me take a cue for discussion.
This is Christina. I'm happy to jump in at any point. So put me in the queue.
I'll put you first in the queue, but let me take a cue first, and then we'll get started. Other people want to be in the queue?
Tim.
Tim? Okay. Others? All right. Is Jordy on the call? Did he ever join?
Yeah. Hello?
Jordy, on behalf of, instead of me doing it, on behalf of the registry, do you want to be in the queue?
Sorry, I was a little bit disconnected. Regarding?
We're talking about the funding of travel expenses for counselors.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, I think I would prefer it if somebody else from the registries would take that instead of me, since I'm chairing this right now. So anyone else want to be in the queue? Okay. Christina, you're on.
Sure. I would just say that at the outset, this is not a official ITC position. Although the sense I'm getting from our members is that there really isn't anyone who disagrees with it. But I, you know, fully agree with Robin's post yesterday regarding that, you know, no one is talking about frivolous or extravagant spending. We're really talking about making sure that all of the volunteers who are contributing to the formation of ICANN policy are actually in a position where they can do that without, you know, personal financial disadvantage to themselves. I admittedly have very limited experience as to trying to participate, and I mean participate. I don't mean just participate remotely to council meetings. And, in fact, the only one that I think I've done is Marina Del Rey, and it was abysmal. It's essentially impossible. Even if the facilities were such that you could effectively participate in the meetings remotely, there is so much of what happens and is discussed and developed in the course of these meetings that I think in-person participation is very important. You know, given that reality, at this point, it looks as if ICANN is essentially limiting participation, you know, barring reimbursement of reasonable travel expenses. ICANN is, in my view, effectively limiting participation on council to those with the personal resources or those who are employed by organizations with the resources and willingness to pay annual travel expenses, which I think are probably, for most people, close to $10,000, kind of doing currency conversions. And that restriction just to me seems to be entirely inconsistent with the entire bottom-up international multi-stakeholder model. You know, personally, I think travel expenses should be limited to airfare and lodging and be limited to, you know, something reasonable. I have not yet flown on a flight long enough to a council meeting, to an ICANN meeting, where I've felt it's appropriate to take business class. You know, India and Kenya, that's, you know, if that we're talking 16 hours, that might change. But I don't think anyone is asking for, you know, upgraded airlines or you know, expensive hotel suites. You know, I looked at my own expenditures, and so far, just for airfare and lodging, you know, we're close to $9,000. And I am personally extraordinarily lucky that my firm has been generous in being willing to pay those. But, you know, there's a limit to that generosity. There's a limit to those resources. And frankly, the upcoming trips are really going to push those lines. And to the extent that
that there is any opposition or reluctance to having ICANN fund travel expenses because of perhaps misperceptions or incorrect assumptions as to how things, you know, work, at least for me. You know, I want to be perfectly clear so that there is no misunderstanding by anyone. The time that I spend to attend the meetings isn't billed to a client. The time that I spend on ICANN matters, whether it's council, working group, constituency, isn't billed to a client. In fact, it doesn't even count toward my billable hours. Every hour that I spend on ICANN matters, I have to make up for. So as a practical matter, the only way that I could be more of a volunteer is to quit my job, and that's not going to happen. And I really think that ICANN is at the point where if they are interested and willing to in having strong, effective policy development, they need, by volunteers, they need to be at least willing to facilitate the participation of those volunteers in those meetings.
Thank you, Christina. Tim.
My personal view as an individual, you know, is that I'm in general agreement with the concept and with some of the things that Christina has said. I certainly think personally that as long as policy is a considerable part of what takes place at ICANN meetings, that some reasonable expenses should be covered to be sure that a good representation of the council is there. And, you know, the idea of having four or five council members sitting at a table in India with everybody else on the phone doesn't seem like a very bright prospect to me and actually getting any work done. That's my personal view. You know, the views of the constituency, which we've been trying to gather, you know, they've been really all, they run the full gamut of, you know, support to, you know, completely opposed to the concept. So it's not likely that the registrars will, at this point, probably come to consensus on that issue. But certainly there's some strong opposition to the concept, so I wanted to put that on the table. And then one question that I do have is, in regards to the letter now, I mean, just based on the things that Denise has said and that Doug has said, you know, are we looking at trying to frame the funding that we're requesting right now within the confines of the current budget, and then any request beyond that would be something that we're looking to be considered for the next budget cycle? Is that the idea?
You know, I think you raised a good question there, Tim, and one that I was kind of leaning towards. And I think we may want to break the issue into two areas. One, funding for India, which is a short-term need and involves high expenses, and the possibility of using funds that were budgeted for, not for ICANN meetings, but for other GNSO policy work. And then secondly, the long-term issue of funding of GNSO work, work-related travel. So let's come back to that after we finish the queue here. Jordy?
Yeah. Excuse me. Hi. I'm going to wrap up more or less the discussion we've been having in our constituency. Initially, it seems a very good idea, so we enhance participation and we allow everybody to be there, so this is fine. But then we have to think about different things. The first one is that should be somehow, I wouldn't say limited, but at least controlled. I mean, this cannot be a free lunch, okay, business class for everybody, flights and hotel for everybody and such. So we do not, as a constituency, we do not oppose to giving, subsidizing travel for whoever may need that, as far as it is not a free lunch, as far as it is transparent, it's crystal clear, it's public, and there is criteria to decide that. That's the first point. The second point is that, well, we've been trying to compare, and we've seen that ISG and IAB members paid their own tickets for the IATF meeting, so we wonder why we should be different. So if there is a strong need for that and there is strong evidence, we can talk about it. The second one is about the business class. Okay. Sending ICANN staff plus all the people in the council plus who knows who else, this is a lot of money for ICANN budget. Okay, maybe only 0.7% as you mentioned, but we need to be transparent and we need to justify that in front of the rest of the world that's going to be reading and looking at our balances. So there must be a strong need for that. Initially, we tend to oppose. The second one is, well, the next one, excuse me, is that we question if everybody from, I mean, all the people that are going to fly to those places should be really be there. I mean, we represent an organization that's supposed to be the Internet, and we are not able to hold a single meeting using the Internet. I mean, that's quite a shame. So we would like ICANN to invest much more on the constituencies and the councils to provide these kind of tools to minimize troubles and allow real participation being from home at any time in any place on the world. So that would be more or less the main items that the registry constituency has been discussing this day.
Thank you very much, Jordy. Does anybody else want to be in the queue?
This is Bilal. I'd like to say something.
Go ahead, Bilal.
Norbert also.
Norbert, okay.
And I kind of tend to support what Jordy said regarding the video conferencing method, but we at this time don't have that yet. Until with that time, I think there is a need for most of the council members to be at the physical meetings, the three meetings a year. I'd like to reply to what Jordy said about justification. Is all what Christina said is considered justification for this. That's all.
Thank you very much, Bilal. Norbert.
Support very much what you, Chuck, said before, that we should try to separate two issues. One is the issue of Delhi, because this is very urgent and very soon. And the second issue is how to clarify things on the long range. I remember here that Dennis Mitchell said last year when the intercession meeting funding was decided, it was just on an ad hoc basis decided between the GNSO chair and ICANN staff, and I hope it will be possible to get a solution for Delhi on this level, because time is running, and if we don't book soon, we will not be able to book convenient flights. Convenient, that means cheaper flights in my case.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Norbert.
Can I make one comment? Sure, Aubrey,
go ahead.
Okay, and this is pretty much a personal comment. I tend to believe that the members of the council should be treated at the same level in terms of their travel as staff members. In a sense, we are volunteer staff, and if that's the same as the board level, I don't know. But basically, that I do not believe that there should be a class system that separates the board into one class of support, the staff into another, and the GNSO counselors into a third. So as chair, I mean, I will put forward whatever the position of the council is, but my personal view is that in making these requests, we should certainly ask for a parity of treatment.
Thank you, Aubrey. I want to share at least a gist of an email that was sent to me asking a question, and this was not within the registry constituency, but the question was asked, does this issue really relate to the overall issue of where ICANN meetings are held and convenience of travel and expenses? And I think most of us are aware of the fact that the board was considering looking at meeting venues and possibly having at least two out of three at near hubs that make it less expensive and easier to get to. And my response to that person was, I think it is. I think that's an issue that I think all of this brings to the forefront, and we're not going to talk about that now. I just wanted to share that with the rest of the council, that I think that is a very good question to ask, and this whole issue with regard to meeting venue is one that I think needs to be revisited if that's been dropped. But that's something that was shared with me.
Tim, could I get back in the queue too, Chuck?
Okay, anybody else want back in?
Jordy.
Who was that? I'm sorry?
Jordy again.
Jordy, okay, Jordy, good. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, just a few comments. I think the kind of echoing here.
I think what you just read about, you know, the meetings and having two or three in a more accessible location, you know, that's a good idea, but it doesn't really get to some of my personal concerns, and that is that, you know, what happens at that third meeting if, you know, there's not good representation, we don't have proxy voting, participating sometimes over teleconference is either, you know, very poor or next to impossible. You know, I mean, I think there's a lot of things down the road that could make things better. Perhaps some of the ideas that Jordy was expressing about, you know, web conferencing tools and things might certainly help alleviate some of that. We also need to resolve the issue about proxy voting for counselors who can't make it there, so that there's a fair representation when decisions are being made on the council. You know, if we were going to go to one to India and we were decided, well, we're not going to have any substantive policy discussions, we're not going to take any votes on any substantive policy issues, you know, then that might be different, but that's not what's going to happen. And, you know, if we end up with five counselors there and the others are having difficulty connecting by phone, and this is the reality of what it is today. And that's why I think, you know, the issue needs to get resolved for India. And I think some of these other ideas are great, but they don't really solve the problem in the short term.
Great, Tim. Thanks. Jordy?
Yeah. Just two items. The first one is my own view, and the second one is in the standard view of the Constitution. Regarding the first one, that's my own view. Regarding New Delhi meeting, I mean, I'm still amazed how we're so close to it, and there's not yet anything frozen and crystal clear. So I wonder why this has not been cancelled and another place has been proposed, even Los Angeles or whatever. But that's my personal opinion. And then I do agree that we do need to split this discussion into two items. The first one is, what do we do for New Delhi? And then, what do we do for the future? Then, taking back the view of the constituency, correct me if I'm wrong, Chuck, I mean, we are not opposing to subsidizing whoever may need for that. No problem there. But we need to be transparent and accountable in front of the rest of the world.
Thank you, Jordy. Okay. Now, with regard to the letter, at least two constituencies have shared that there's some concerns with regard to just the blanket requesting of travel for everybody, with different personal views within those, at least one of those constituencies. Most everybody else seems to be supportive of requesting support. Now, are we talking about requesting? So I've seen several things in the discussion on the list, and that is this requesting board travel support comparable to the board, comparable to staff. Don't know if that's different. Where are we at, Aubrey, right now?
Well, I'll comment on two things. At the moment, the letter is written, first of all, one change needs to be made because the letter is written that, you know, a majority of people with no dissent. Obviously, at this point, that is no longer true. So that would need to be modified. While it's still a majority, there certainly is dissent. Second, yes, the letter was written as requesting parity with the board. As I say, it's my argument that it should be parity with at least the staff, and I don't think the board should be more than the staff either, but that's a personal view. Second, I think that we already have a discussion ongoing with Doug and with Denise about using the money that's currently in the budget to immediately solve this problem. So I think in a sense we already do have the issue somewhat separated. I may need to do a little editing to make that a cleaner separation. But the letter to Paul is basically asking about a future, you know, long-term budget, et cetera. And the work that we're doing with Doug and Denise is about help for right now to get people to New Delhi. If I'm understanding the discussion, that seems to be the right mix. And so I think on the letter, I need to do more work. I need to send another copy. We need to have more discussion. and maybe we should actually take a vote on the letter on long-term solution at a future meeting, whereas, you know, I should work with Doug and Denise on the immediate problem, as they seem, you know, very willing to work with us.
So what I'm hearing is there may not be an immediate need for the letter if the letter is addressing the long-term issue, and that actions are already underway that we need to just continue to pursue those quickly with regard to possible help for the Delhi trip.
And if I'm wrong that, you know, senior staff has already pretty much agreed to help us with that budget and we do need a letter for that purpose, then I'll come back to the council immediately. But my impression is, and I don't know if either Denise or, you know, I'm sure Doug isn't on a call, but is Denise is, that, you know, my impression is that they're trying to work to help us.
Denise, can you comment on that?
You know, I think she's in Sydney.
Oh, okay. She's not on the phone. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's the way I'm sort of interpreting it, that the letter needs more work. And we need more discussion, and I don't know that we're going to resolve it now. And so that should stay on the agenda, but that I keep working with Doug and Denise to see what happens now for now.
And we really need some resolution on that, not later than our next meeting on the 20th.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I say something about that?
Yes.
Bilal, the New Delhi meeting is going to coincide with the Chinese New Year, which is going to be about a week later than the meeting itself. This is going to be a very busy time for any travel within Asia or that part of Asia. So if we can kind of speed up even before the 20th, it will be beneficial to all of us to find out if we're actually going to get the funding or if we're going to go or not.
Yeah, okay. I take that and I will, you know, make it a top urgency issue and for as soon as possible. Right.
Okay.
I'd like to also ask while we're doing this if people could send me individual email on the ones that absolutely cannot get there. In other words, I'm gonna try and get it for everybody, but also it'd be good to know where the absolute need is. Who is not coming unless this happens?
Okay, so you're asking that...
I'm asking as backup knowledge for me to have when it comes time to dealing with this budget and be able to say, look, we have seven council members that can't come because I want to be able to say that, and I'm not asking people to declare it on a public list, but to let me know.
Okay, so everyone that is in that situation should notify Aubrey via private email.
Okay.
Is that okay? All right, we're way over time. I know Mike had requested update on one action
on the proxy, right, on the proxy issue. Basically, where we've got it left at the moment was looking for someone to make a motion. Now, during the last couple of days, Philip did make a request that we ask the staff to basically suggest suggest an amendment to the bylaws that we could then discuss. Is that a request that we want to make some stuff to Philip there? Am I characterizing it correctly?
Philip?
I think Philip is off the call.
Okay. And what I understood Philip suggesting it to was that we pattern it after the previous proxy voting, and I replied to that I think we need to do some work on that. That was my own opinion before we put that forward. So then that wouldn't, in terms of what kind of conditions for proxy voting would be applied, that wouldn't necessarily prevent staff from giving us some feedback in terms of how the bylaws might be changed to accommodate it.
I don't know that we don't have a motion on the table at the moment, but I'll take it upon myself to talk to staff and see if we can't get something crafted that we could talk about on the list and certainly before the next meeting. And so I'll follow up on this and follow up with people on the list. And if we need a motion at the next meeting, hopefully we can have text to vote on or wordsmith. And I don't know if there's a staff person that would like to volunteer to work with me on getting something drafted.
I'm happy to. It's Liz.
Okay, thank you, Liz. So and anyone else that wants to be involved, you know, in that draft.
Yeah, I would definitely like want, you know, Dan's consultation at minimum. So.
I think I'd like to actually do the discussion on the list that you and I basically quickly put together a first proposal and then open up the discussion to the list immediately.
And just glancing over the pending action list, it seems like one other item, just a reminder, thanks, Christina, for the IPC putting forth some revisions on the IGO DRP. I want to call to everybody's attention that issue, so because we're scheduled to make a decision in our meeting on the 20th with regard to whether to proceed with the PDP on that or not. So I encourage each constituency to make sure that you're prepared to act on that in that next meeting. We should also just mention the chair, vice chair elections. The nomination period for chair ends tonight, I think at 6 Eastern, if I remember right. Is that correct, Lynn?
Yes, that's right.
And so the election process will start what time, Glenn? What day?
The election process will normally start on the 13th of December and go through to the 7th of January. That's by email votes.
Okay. So you can be prepared for that. Any questions or comments on that?
Okay. So it looks like
we completed our the two key tasks that needed to be done today as far as the NOMCOM job description and the WHO is Study questionnaire team, as well as dealing with other issues that are important, including the IDN issue. Aubrey, go ahead.
Yeah, if I could say one thing. So what we have on next meeting is, one, we have the WHO is questionnaire to review and make a decision that it gets published. Two, we have the IGO dispute resolution, PDP discussion of what's been offered by Christina and the IPC, and then a vote on how we proceed. And then we review the results from the transfer review working group and start our discussions on figuring out what's next with that. And Chuck, thank you very much. And everybody, thanks for putting up with this voice.
Thanks for participating. Yeah, I know it's been a struggle, but you did well. So anybody else have anything else before we close?
Just a quick question. What time is our meeting on the 20th? Same time?
1500 UTC.
Same time. All right. Thank you.
Okay. I got that correct, didn't I, Glenn?
Yes, you did, Chuck. Thank you.
Okay. All right. If there's nothing else, then I will adjourn the meeting. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.